shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
2 Kings 3, we have an alliance of three kings. Now, these are not the three kings that came to see the baby Jesus. This is another three kings. And these kings were the king of Judah was Jehoshaphat. He was a man of God. And his son, Jehoshaphat did a lot of good things. He cleaned out all of the images of idolatry in the country. And he did one thing that, as a reformer, that others hadn't done. He got a bunch of Bible teachers and sent them into all the cities of Judah to teach the word. He sent them all around to teach the word. And so he was a reformer. He was an amazing leader and a spiritual leader as well as a king. And so, but he made a mistake. He allowed his son, Jehoram, to marry the king of Israel's daughter. Now, the king of Israel at that time was Ahab. You may recognize that name. He married a lovely lady called Jezebel. But he was an evil king. He had the priests of God murdered. He closed up the temple. He had everything that had to do with God erased from the country, and he promoted idols, Baal worship, and everything else. So he was an evil king, and Jehoshaphat entered into an alliance with him and closed the deal by allowing his son to marry Ahab's daughter. And his son, therefore, by being influenced by his father-in-law and his wife, eventually became an idol worshiper himself. And so, by the time this three-king alliance came to be, Jehoram was now king of Israel. Ahab had died, and Jehoram took over the throne, which is Jehoshaphat's son, and he had a problem with the country of Moab. And so he wrote his dad, sent a message to his dad, "Dad, can you help me out? I'm in trouble. I got this war with Moab, and they're pretty good army. Can you come and join with me to defeat them?" And so Jehoshaphat, of course, it's his son. He doesn't really want to work with an idol worshiper, but this is his boy. You know, it's hard to say no to your kids. And so he did. He said, "Okay, I'll join your son." And the two of them headed off to fight Moab. And then along the way, they picked up a third king, the king of Edom, who had an alliance with Israel and didn't like Moab at the time. And he joined them. So now we got three kings, three armies, all heading for Moab. And that's where the story starts. This is, of course, an unequal yoke. The marriage of Jehoram to Ahab's daughter was an unequal yoke, but these three kings are an unequal yoke as well. The Bible warns against that, 2 Corinthians 6:14, not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That means in relationships, in marriage, in business, and so forth. It's a risky thing. So on the march to Moab, these three kings with their three armies on the march to Moab, they cannot find water for the soldiers to drink or water for the animals. They used to have cattle following the armies because they didn't have refrigeration or anything. The only way to eat fresh meat is to have the cows follow you. So they had a whole herd following the armies, and they would use that herd for their provision. But so we got the men, the soldiers, they need water. The animals need water or they're going to die. And they have a problem. And so in verse 10 of this chapter, the two pagan kings, the one from Edom and the one from Israel, become hopeless, become despaired, and think they're going to die. Now, the ungodly oftentimes encounters needs in their life. Just like anyone, they have needs in their life, need for companionship, need to feel like they're important, need to feel like there's a purpose to their existence, need to, they have a lot of needs. And those needs they look for in the world. They look for those needs in the wrong places. If you go to Jeremiah 2:13, you'll see that one of the problems with Israel was they forsook God and they sought out for themselves cisterns that could hold no water. They went to things that looked good on the outside but didn't have anything that could fulfill them or satisfy them on the inside. They were attracted to them. They looked and said, wow, that's a nice cistern. Very well carved out, and you know they even did a little nice crown work on it. I think I'll go there and be refreshed. They got there, the cistern's empty, and that's like in the world. Things look good, you're attracted to them, you go in that direction, and when you get there, you find out it's empty. It could hold no water. Believers have needs too. We all have the same needs as everybody else. But we get our needs fulfilled in Christ. And that's why in John 1:16, Jesus says of himself, or John says about Jesus, he says, from his fullness have we all received. Our needs are met through his fullness. He has fullness. He has no need himself. He's full. But from his fullness we receive from him, and we get our needs met. And so that's a beautiful thing. The believer has a provision that the world doesn't have. We have Christ. And he fulfills our every need. And that's why David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have any needs. I shall not want. Because he fulfills every need. And then beautifully, we have Ephesians 1:23, which also tells us that the church, that's you guys, the church, which is his body. You are the body of Christ, and you know that. And it also, he says about you, you are the fullness of him. So Jesus is the fullness that we receive from grace upon grace. But then he says also the church, which is his body, because he's not separate from his body. Most of us aren't separate from our body. We need the body in order to function. He's not separate from his body. He is his body. And so if he says, in my church, you will find fullness. Why is it important to come to church? Because the fullness of Christ is here. But I don't see it. I don't feel it. It's not seen or felt. It's by faith. The Bible says it. We believe it. And so we have the fullness of him who fills all, every single one of you, in all of your needs. It says he fills all in all. All you people, with all of your needs, he fills it, but he does it through his body. He does it through body life. And it's grace upon grace we receive from each other, from the pulpit, and from the church in general. We receive grace upon grace. And that fills us. I want to give you some of the graces that we have, categories of grace that we have as believers. And you can write these down. The first one is saving grace. That's the first grace we really encounter as believers. In Ephesians 2:8, we're saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's method. Saving grace is his method of rescuing us from a certain destiny in hell, where we are equipped for hell. We've failed, we've sinned, Adam sinned, we have a sin nature. There's nothing in us or about us that is good for heaven. It's not qualified for heaven. But we have salvation through Christ with saving grace that saves us, forgives us, cleans us up, gives us righteousness, the whole thing. In salvation, and makes us able to go to heaven. The first grace we encounter as believers is saving grace. Then the next grace we should encounter, and some of us have and some of us haven't, there are people out there who still haven't, is positional grace. Knowing who I am in Christ. Knowing that I'm seated together with Him in heavenly places. Knowing that I'm saved and God has placed me in a relationship with Himself that cannot be undone. And even if I commit sins, they are forgiven. And they're never placed in the eternal record in Romans chapter 4. He does not put our sins on the record. He does not impute them to us or record or count them against us. And the righteousness we need to be acceptable in heaven is given to us as a gift in Romans 5:17. But people don't know this sometimes. Christians don't know this. And they're striving to become righteous in their own strength. That's what the Old Testament people did. That's what the Pharisees were doing. But man has failed every covenant. Every covenant he's entered into with God, he's failed it. And God, that's what the Old Testament shows us, that man failed, then he failed again, then he failed again, then he failed again. And after you read the whole Old Testament, you've concluded that man's pretty much a failure. And so, under the new covenant, which Jeremiah prophesied, and that we are living in now, a new agreement with God, Jesus represents us. We don't represent ourselves in the new covenant. If we did, we'd fail. So Jesus represents us. He says, I'm going to represent all of these people that put their faith in me. I'll represent them, and I'll keep your covenant, God. And so Jesus represented us. And Jesus' obedience to the Father ratifies the covenant and gives us all of the blessings of the covenant to us, but He's the one that did it. So 5:19 of Romans says, for the obedience of one, all of us have been blessed. Through the obedience of one. Jesus took our place in this new covenant. And all the other covenants, we stood there and say, yes, God, I'll do that. Turn around, and then we don't do it. But in this covenant, Jesus said, I'll take their place because they will always fail. I'll take their place and I'll keep the covenant and then I'll give them grace. And that was good with the Father. The next grace that we come under, once we've learned who we are in Christ, and we should, is the operational grace of God, which is where we grow. Under the operational grace of God, we grow as Christians. The operational grace of God is imparting is the continuous appropriation of grace teaching. Now that I'm a Christian, now I'm going to go and get grace teaching. Not legalistic teaching, whatever else is out there, not prosperity, not all the other theologies that are out there. I'm going to go get grace teaching. The teaching that Paul told the Ephesians he committed them to when he left town. Acts 20:32. Give you over to grace. Teaching to grace. What does that do for us if we're under grace teaching? It brings, number one, healing.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Sam Custom Trim Inc., a corporate underwriter of WCNO, is a complete woodworking, home improvement, and repair service specializing in custom kitchen.